now a story. A story about a donkey called Dave. This is both a serious story and a hopeful story. Dave had an expectation of how the people would treat Jesus. We're going to find out what it was that Dave was expecting. What did he think they were going to treat the king like? And why was Dave so shocked? Let's hear the story. Dave the donkey was very excited. He'd been watching all week for his grandpa to get back from Jerusalem. Dave had some big news he'd been waiting to share with him. As he saw his grandpa approaching, walking slowly back from Jerusalem. "Grandpa, grandpa, guess what? I carried a king into Jerusalem." "You're joking, Dave," said grandpa. "No, grandpa, I carried a king. There I was, standing out the front, minding my own business, when the king's servant untied me and led me to the king. The king, he jumped on my back. And, well, we went all the way to Jerusalem. All the way. There was a huge crowd waving palm branches, and everyone cheered, 'Hooray for the king! Long live the king!' We then said goodbye. I headed home, leaving the king to get on with his job of being king. So, Grandpa, you've been in Jerusalem since I did all of that. Tell me what happened next. Did the crowd keep on cheering for the king?" "Well, Dave," said Grandpa, "the crowd were yelling for the king." "Well," said Dave, "I bet all the leaders came to meet him." "Yes," sighed Grandpa, "the king did meet all the leaders. And I suppose, Grandpa, they put a golden crown upon the king's head." "They certainly crowned the king, but it wasn't made of gold." "The throne, Grandpa, they must have led the king to the palace and sat him on a throne and cheered, 'Long live the king.'" "No, Dave," sighed Grandpa. "There was no throne. They put him on a cross." Dave was stunned and saddened. A cross? But he was the king. The king. Yes, Dave, he was the king. But the king died on a cross. And he was put in a tomb, and the tomb was sealed with a heavy stone. "But that's not the end," said Grandpa. "The king is alive. He was dead, but the tomb is empty, and the king is alive." Dave stared across the valley to Jerusalem as this strange and wonderful news rolled on through his mind. The king was dead, but now he's alive. "Grandpa," asked Dave, "did you ever carry someone special that you will never forget?" "Yes, Dave," said Grandpa thoughtfully. "As a matter of fact, I did. It was long ago, on a starry night, just like this. I carried someone special that I will never forget." Dave cheered. "Long live the king. Long live the king." A story that reminds us of the journey that Jesus was to make. The king that they expected, the king that the crowd were cheering for, became a king crowned with thorns. And we're now going to have both of our readings, starting with the Philippians.
The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honour of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Our second reading is from the book of Luke. The triumphant approach to Jerusalem. After Jesus said this, he went on in front of them towards Jerusalem. As he came near Bethage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two disciples ahead with these instructions. Go to the village there ahead of you. As you go in, you will find a colt tied up that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If someone asks why you are untying it, tell him that the master needs it. They went on the way and found everything just as Jesus had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, "Why are you untying it?" "The master needs it," they answered, and they took the colt to Jesus. Then they threw their cloaks over the animal and helped Jesus get on. As he rode on, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near Jerusalem, at the place where the road went down the Mount of Olives, the large crowd of his disciples began to thank God and bless him in loud voices for all the great things they had seen. "God bless the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God." Then some of the Pharisees in the crowd spoke to Jesus. "Teacher," they said, "command your disciples to be quiet." Jesus answered, "I tell you that if they keep quiet, the stones themselves will start shouting." Amen.
As we come to think of the reading, and I'm going to think a little bit about the servant king in the Philippians reading, I just feel that we can't just think about Palm Sunday, and the Philippians reading has so much to tell us in such a short passage entitled in the Bible, Christ's Humility and Greatness. And we've just sung about this is our God, the servant king who calls us to follow him. So I'm just going to read again before I begin to reflect on those readings, the words from Philippians. The attitude you should have is the one Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all that he had. He took on the nature of a servant. He became like a human being and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other. And so, in honour of the name of Jesus, all being in heaven and on earth and in the world below will fall on their knees and will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. A wonderful passage, and one that I often reflect on. I remember when I was studying with my degree to think about children and family work, one of the passages I used was that one when I had to unpack, I think the words are, a Bible passage. There are some very more appropriate words that if you were at theological college, they would tell you all about exegesis and all those other things. But I like to think about calling it unpacking. And for me, the word that struck me in one of the translations I read was the emptiness that actually Jesus came to earth. He emptied himself. That's quite a sort of, if you imagine a pouring out. And that Philippians reading talks about him pouring out of himself, him giving up everything, but then rising to glory. So as we think about the Palm Sunday reading, we think about the servant king. We've sung about it. We heard a story about Dave the donkey, who believed that he was carrying a king. He was. He was carrying a king that people lifted palms high, waved them in the streets, threw down their cloaks. That was quite a thing for someone to throw down a cloak in a street, because cloaks were of value. If you had a cloak, it was valuable to you. To actually throw that down in front of the feet of a donkey was quite something. Perhaps like a red carpet. They were expecting a king. But actually, Jesus perhaps was not the king that they were expecting. They wanted someone who was going to come on a war horse, who was going to brandish a sword. They felt that that was the king that they were expecting. And they got a very different king who rode in symbolically on a donkey. A donkey that was meaningless. A donkey that had never done any work before, that was waiting to be put into work. A young donkey. Nothing. No symbolism in that. The simplicity and the crowds cheering. And as Dave pointed out in his story, they must have been cheering loudly for a king. And the grandfather reminded him, they were cheering, but not for a king. It all changed from Palm Sunday. And as we journey through Holy Week, we take that journey where those cheers went from cheers of Hosanna in the highest, blessings to the Son of David, to crucify him. So donkeys feature a lovely story that I read to you, written by someone who I use a lot, that actually reflects on a story in a way that makes it accessible to us all. And as I was looking for thoughts about Palm Sunday and looking for something perhaps different to say, every year we have the same reading, and actually it would be very easy to say the same things. And I found some words from the Chelmsford Diocese that someone had written in a talk that they were preparing that I found really helpful, that made me think of things in a different way. And the person writing had said he turned up at a church where he was expecting a donkey. They said, "We'll have a donkey arriving in the service." There are churches today all over the country where donkeys will be walking down the centre of the church. Possibly if the donkey's a friendly one with someone on their back. I know in the church where I come from, years ago, they had a vicar there who had his own donkey and brought it to church on the Palm Sunday. Used to come at Christmas too. And actually, what he got was not a donkey. It was a pantomime donkey. And a pantomime horse, I suspect, not a donkey, because that's the costume that they usually have. And he wrote, "How apt for that first Palm Sunday, as it was something of a pantomime." That made me want to read on, because I'm thinking, pantomime? Pantomime is something of, to me, where we shout back, "Oh no, it isn't, oh yes it is." And perhaps that's not what we're thinking about when we think about Jesus arriving in Jerusalem. So the person went on to write to say, but it was a pantomime, because the word pantomime literally means all mimed. It refers to a drama that is performed without any words, not the pantomime that we're thinking about. A drama in which the actions and the gestures convey meaning. And looking it up in the dictionary refers to it as a performance of a dramatized tale followed by a transformation scene. That made me think, well, yes, I think you're saying something valuable here. A dramatisation, a dramatised tale followed by a transformation scene. And that really is exactly what Palm Sunday and Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was all about. So what does that mean for us? That dramatisation that was being acted out. Jesus knew that he had a journey to take. He was approaching Jerusalem. He'd left the comfort of the home of Mary and Martha. If you had that reading last week of the anointing of Jesus' feet, Mary had lavished rich perfume on him, signifying that something was going to happen. Perhaps signifying the anointing of Jesus at his burial. So he'd moved on. He knew that that journey was going to continue. He knew that he had to take the next stage. And he entered that in his sense of pantomime, of dramatization. He didn't come, as he could have done, in triumph on a fine horse. He came on a donkey. A donkey that was meant for menial tasks. Donkeys would have been loaded with burdens that they had to carry. They were working animals. And that was what Jesus chose as he walked into Jerusalem. As he rode, I should say, into Jerusalem. A donkey. So he was saying, I come as nothing. I come not as a royal king. I come as one of you. A servant. And if we followed that story through, we come to Maundy Thursday and we have another wonderful image of the servant king. As Jesus takes off his outer garments, wraps a towel around his waist and kneels at the disciples' feet and washes their feet. Again, not a royal king, but a servant king, showing others through his actions what it was to be that servant, to serve others. So for us, as we venture on through Holy Week and we go about our daily lives, much of the impact that we have on others is about our actions, about how we live. It's not just by our words. It is, going back to that pantomime, a pantomime in a very real sense. We live out our actions, we live out our life for Jesus. There's a saying that some people would dispute, but I still like to use it, that St. Francis used. As he sent out missionaries, he told them, preach the gospel, use words when necessary. So that's not saying that words aren't important. Of course they are. We need to be able to tell people of our faith. As we take a cross, where do we show this cross? Where do we place this? Do we put it somewhere where it instill a conversation with others? Or do we tuck it away? We've got our cross and we put it in a book and hide it away. Or do we actually use it to have a conversation with others about what it means? Each of us needs to be able to be like Jesus, to actually show through our actions and gestures the gospel that Jesus was showing us. We would want others to see it as something that challenges them, that intrigues them, that would make them want to ask more. So our actions, not only do they show how we live our life, but they show our sense of purpose. And we are, as that description said, we can be the transformation scene. We can be the ones that actually transform a presence that God can use and others can see. And at some point, God transforms each one of us. We may never know when that transformation is. But each one of us can be transformed, transformed by what Christ did for us. His death on the cross gives each of us a transformation to live our lives differently and in the richness of what Jesus did, giving up his life on a cross. Each person's life has purpose. John Henry Newman put it like this: God has created me to do him some definite service. He has committed some work to me, which is not committed to another. I have my mission. I may never know it in this life, but I shall be told it in the next. I am a link in a chain, a bond of connection between persons. He has not created me for naught. I shall do good. I shall do his work. I shall be an angel of peace, a preacher of truth in my own place, while not intending it, if I do not but keep his commandments. I think that's wonderful. We may never know what that is, but each of us do have a purpose, whether it be something big or small. Each of our actions shows something of our heart. They reveal our compassion. And we see, as Jesus approached Jerusalem, his compassion, his giving up, in that word in Philippians, his emptying of himself, him becoming that servant king. His tears were of sadness for what he had to face. Sadness for what he was giving up, but knowing that he was on God's mission. That was his purpose. So each of our actions show something of ourselves. And in that, we need to be humble. We need to remember to show true humility in what we do. We only have to look to the actions of Jesus if we need to be reminded. The actions of him riding on a donkey on Palm Sunday, him washing the disciples' feet. It wasn't showy. It was giving up everything to do something for others. A genuine humility. And sometimes we as a church can be quite the opposite. We sometimes forget the purpose that we have been given, that we have been called here to be Christ-like, to have that humility, to live out our lives and give our actions to show others what it is to know and love Jesus, to be a true follower. Nothing comes easily, and it does mean that we have to give up things. Perhaps we've given up things through Lent that have reminded us of what it means. Or perhaps we need to take on other things that we've put aside, that we've ignored. But so much comes down to who we are and our actions. It is, as I started, a pantomime. So our actions may speak of our calling and of our love and our humility. May each one of us in our actions reveal something of Jesus Christ, who came to us in the greatest humility and showed his love for each and every one of us. Amen.